Welcome to Clearwater County Podcasts, an ongoing conversation about the issues that matter to residents and businesses of Clearwater County. Audio versions are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and other streaming services. Welcome. This is Jerry Pratt. I'm here with Jim Duncan. He's with the Clearwater Trails Initiative. Jim, I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you, Jerry.
Nice snowy week and cold.
Yes.
People are looking forward to get out on some of our trails that finally have some snow on them.
Yes.
What does the Clearwater Trails Initiative do?
So Clearwater Trails Initiative is a not-for-profit society. We've been around quite a while, this version since about 2014, and we became a society in 2017. Generally, we do some construction of trails, presently working in the Meadows area, southwest of Rocky, but we're also a lot about the process of approving and planning trails and working with other stakeholders in the area, like government, like industry, agriculture, as in people that have grazed their cattle out there, and the trappers as well. The Clearwater Trails has always been working in the we call it the vacant crown land in Clearwater County. It's the green area, but it's not the public land use zones. It's those areas between here and Nordegg that everybody's out there in, whether it's industry, agriculture, recreationists, et cetera. So that's where we work and try and build some sustainable trails. A main focus for us has been trying to do something with these trails that reduces the or mitigates the impact of so many stakeholders there. So an example of that is taking logging roads from West Fraser, who've been out there on the landscape doing their logging, and turning those logging roads into trails so that when they finish logging, the road becomes a trail and it can stay a trail forever, or maybe West Fraser needs it sometime in the future and we can turn it back into a road for them. So of course, that's been a very tricky process with the government. They don't, you know, we've never had anything like this before. It hasn't been, there's not any legal way to, or was never any legal way to do this. Because basically you need to preserve that trail to protect it from other development. You need a disposition on the trail. Then if it's put on top of the existing one, you know, that's something that's never done. And you really, you know, we weren't interested in taking away the disposition totally from industry or other people that are out there. We want to be able to share it. So that's been part of the process as well, finding our way through that kind of maze of new things. And the new Trails Act that's out there now, that's all part of that, right? That's putting legislation in place that works in this vacant crown land, something that's never been in place before.
Because, I mean, we're blessed with many beautiful places to go and see, and many people are out on their OHVs, on their bikes, sometimes snowmobiles. But they're often accessing or using even the oil lease roads,
right,
or the logging roads in order to get to those places. But my understanding is after West Fraser, for example, once they're done in an area, they don't need that logging road for many years because they then seed and it won't come back for decades. They're required to normally reclaim that road.
Yes.
And so you guys are, instead of having them reclaim it completely, you're trying to convert it over into a trail, but still somewhat under the West Fraser disposition.
And yeah, it's not totally clear to me yet how that's going to work. And this is our first attempt, and we've just recently completed about 55 kilometers of trail in the Meadows area, and it's now been designated, but I haven't actually seen the paperwork to know what the legalese is on that, right? So I don't, it's not really clear to me, but from my understanding, yes, there is a disposition on it that will supersede for at least this period in time what West Fraser has. But in some cases, nothing is done with the road. It's just turned into a trail too.
Okay.
But yeah, right. In other cases, it's partially reclaimed, so it's narrow just for trail width as opposed to full road width. And,
I mean, those roads were built so that semis could drive on them.
Yes.
So, you know, being able to handle side by sides and so on can work. The first project was west of Caroline in the Rigg Street area.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
Well, again, that one was more about process for us. We wanted to do something in the vacant crown as Clearwater Trails Initiative got going, and we picked Rigg Street because it is probably the busiest area or one of the busiest areas in Clearwater County in terms of, especially long weekends when we get our largest influx of visitors, where there's industry and there's lots of oil and gas there, lots of logging, lots of grazing, trappers, and of course, many, many recreationists. And the only places they can go, you talked about how the roads are used and the oil leases and the pipelines, but that's all there is for cleared land in most of those areas. And that's why people use them, is that they need to really, to get around, they have to use those right-of-ways. And unfortunately, those right-of-ways often are very straight, especially the pipelines, the cut lines from seismic, and they don't always cross the best terrain for summertime OHVs. Winter and snowmobile use, it's fine, but that's where we see those, you know, picture type issues or examples of damage, right? When there's too many quads on a wet area, where, because it's just a straight path across the Muskeg up to dry land again. And it's, so we would, you know, in that case, we were trying to do something about build it around. So we did a project in the, back there. There was no way to put a disposition or a designation on that trail. We were just kind of trying to do the right thing and coordinate with industry, follow through that process again with the Alberta government of getting at least approval to do it, even though it's not going to be a protected trail. Like, and by that I mean we could build some new trail or have a trail through an area, but somebody could come along and build an oil lease on top of it. There was no way to stop that in the past. Now, if you want to designate a trail, you can do that. You can at least prevent something from going right on top of the trail. It might end up beside it, or the trail might disappear while logging is done or something, but then it's put back in place by the people that do the logging after. So that's just the type of protection there. So again, like I said, we were finding our way. And back in that day, there was funding was really tough to get. There was nothing from the government for sure. We lucked into a national program and found some money there, you know, a fairly large sum, I think $250,000 or something, that got us to be able to build a bunch of trails or basically follow existing pathways, but fix them up so they're more passable. And a big part of it for us is not just the trail, but the bridges, right? The crossing the water in a much more protective manner, finding ways to do that with bridges or culverts or even in the Muskegs where you lay down the matting and put dirt on top of it and that sort of thing, just to make it a more sustainable trail. And for us, it's always been, let's make these kind of family trails, right? We don't want only trails that really experienced expert riders can do, you know, up steep hills and through very wet areas. We want something that entire families can use and enjoy and have good days with them.
And we've seen that change. Like the people that are coming out and enjoying the area, we're now seeing more, it's three generations, as grandma and grandpa, and then, you know, people in their 30s and 40s, and then their kids. So it truly is a family affair. So they're coming out on their side-by-sides, four or five people going on to enjoy the sights and the views that we have. And having these trails that are built to accommodate them and certainly make better water crossings. I think that's better for everyone.
Yes. You're right. It is better for everyone, better for the environment, better for us economically. If you build a trail to a higher standard in the first place, there's less maintenance on it in the future. For us, it's always been easier to find funding for the capital side of the project to build the trail. It's much more difficult. It has been much more difficult to find the funding to maintain it over the years after. So we tend to try and build it a higher standard, use bigger equipment, big Tracos and a CAT, as opposed to guys and shovels and quads and a little dump trailer to do a better job of making that trail last longer. And like today's machines are so much bigger and heavier too, right? You need a better standard of trail for the types of machines that are on those as well.
And one of the things that I really appreciate, in addition to, you know, the trail construction, has been a little bit on the education side. We've got the Sasquatch here.
Yes.
Clearwater Trails Initiative has been an active user of the Sasquatch symbol to help people know, you know what, this is a good place to camp, this is not a good place to camp, these are trails that are good and usable.
Yes. That's worked well. We did some experiments back in the day on Rig Street down there west of Caroline, where we actually went with the oil companies, you know, they were part of the stakeholder process down there as well, and said, do you guys have some leases? They're maybe abandoned, there's no equipment on, but you know, they don't actually abandon them, they're just suspended, but they're not in use. And can we designate those as campsites in your eyes? And we found a few of those that they said yes, so we could put up a nice Sasquatch sign that said, this is a good place to camp. And there's other sites that they were more leery of, right? Their people were camping on them, but they had maybe a sour gas riser there or something, or equipment that was potentially being checked every day and in use, and they didn't need people camping very close to it. So that worked out. We had, you know, like I say, we did some of that. People were quite accommodating. We found really that if you gave them an option where to go, they were okay if you said no somewhere else. So we didn't want to put up a bunch of no camping signs. You know, the Sasquatch says don't camp here. We also wanted to have those close by other places where it is okay to camp, so that people aren't fed up with just seeing the no signs. They know that if they go half a mile down the road, they're going to find a place that's fine to camp.
And the Sasquatch has become quite popular. Other counties have adopted our Sasquatch to use for similar things of telling people, you know, the good trails and the good places to camp, and really about being good stewards of our land as you're out here enjoying it.
Yes. Yeah.
So the Rick Street project was done. It's been several years since most of the work's been done there. And now you've moved on to an area called the Meadow, or the Ponds?
The Meadows area.
The Meadows,
And the Meadows kind of, it's just a part of that world. It's, I guess, geographically, it's kind of between where the Ram River runs into the North Saskatchewan, west of there, and then east of where Ram Mountain is. So there's quite a large chunk of country there. Basically, our trail starts on kilometer 38 of the North Fork Road. There's a bit of a staging area there, kiosk, some signage, et cetera. And from there, the trail would go north toward the North Saskatchewan River. It's 20-some kilometers to the North Saskatchewan River, and then loops back and ends up back basically where it started again. Part of the trail is on, like I said, is on roads. Some of it we actually constructed new trail through the bush just to connect other trails, other roads, et cetera. And we've installed about 8 bridges along that trail so far. And like I said, we've finished about a 55-kilometer loop that gets us back around to the...
And being located where it is, just off North Saskatchewan, very close to the Ram River, be a very scenic drive.
It is. There's some great views on the... There's the trail goes across some clear cuts over some high ground. So, you know, it's certainly a very... a mosaic of different habitat types there, whether it's recent clear cut or regenerating clear cut or virgin forest. And like I said, some hilltops, you can actually see the Tonton Bridge very clearly, the one on the north side, of North Saskatchewan on the rail trail, right from the Saunders Alexo side where our trail hits the river there.
So close. We just need a bridge in there somewhere to cross the North Saskatchewan. Ferry. That'd be a business opportunity for somebody. that'd be good. Do you have more work at the Meadows that you plan to do?
Yes, we've so far all our funding has come through FREA, it's called the Forest Resource Improvement Association of Alberta. And basically that funding is all logging companies, as they harvest timber, are required to put some funds into the FREA program. And FREA puts that money back out into improvement projects that help the forest. So our trails have qualified for an improvement program in the forest, and we've secured funding through that. So various local companies, West Fraser, Strachan Forest Products, et cetera, have put money away for years and need to spend it on some projects. So this is the beauty of the FREA program, is the actual, it doesn't just go in there and get doled out by FREA. The company that puts the money in gets to decide what project it wants to spend it on. So it can be a trail, but it can be things like education for students, the Crossley Memorial Forest, a research forest out at Strachan there, that's funded by the same FREA programs as well. So grizzly bear studies, caribou up in northern Alberta, all those things are funded through the FREA programs. It's basically like the old stumpage fees they used to charge for forestry. It helps to, regenerate the forest and also to do some other good things out there.
And in addition to the... CTI trails, I believe that funding is helping a little bit with Baseline Mountain and also with Black Mountain and the Nordegg area.
I'm not sure about Baseline Mountain, not recently, but definitely, yes, Nordegg. There's a new project out there called Black Mountain, you're right, and it's developed by the Nordegg Off-Road Cycling Association, or NORCA. And we've been helping them out a bit on that, kind of with the administrative side of it, just using our experience with the approvals process, the planning process, the application for funding, which they're through the FREA program as well, and help them out and get going. It's a very large project there. They're a couple of years into it now, and I believe they completed about 15 kilometers of trail out there this summer, mountain bike trail, like you said, and very technical trail, jumps, et cetera. I think it's a great project, probably going to add a lot to the Nordegg community as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how it goes. After you do the Meadows, Is there any other areas you are looking at to go? I mean, we have so much land.
We do.
And a lot of trails on them.
I guess for us, there's still lots we can do at the Meadows. You know, there's other areas we can connect. We have a kind of, I would say, like a spine trail or a main loop. So there's now, we may want to divide that main loop into shorter loops so people can do half days instead of full days or have a side loop off of that somewhere. So we're going to explore that a little bit, see if we can find some more shorter loops there. Of course, you know, where there is some planning going on, Clearwater Trails Initiatives, along with a bunch of other stakeholders, sits on what's called the Nordic Planning Subcommittee, which is a new initiative from the government of Alberta. Right. And it's kind of looking at planning trails in the Nordegg area mostly, but they've kind of looped CTI and the Meadows into that part of the plan as well. And I would call it, you know, sub-regional planning, I guess, would be maybe the best way to describe it. So it's recreational management in a specific area that the government wants to work on. So, you know, we're involved in that. So part of that is connecting all these. So there's various groups and clubs that are involved in that subcommittee, and they all have their projects or their areas that they like to work on and develop trails in. And we're maybe a little bit ahead of them, and we've done some, you know, building of trails. Some of them have done some, but they're more getting into finding out what trails are there and if they're suitable to improve and put into a designated program, just like the Meadows Trail has been designated. And as they work through that process, I think the government and it's been the, you know, talk there is we need to start connecting those as well, right? Connect the Meadows area to another area, connect Nordegg all the way west to Bighorn Dam if we can, those sorts of things as well. That's part of the kind of the overall mothership, if you will, of the trails, is it connect various areas. People can start doing more than just a single day trip. Right. They can go for multiple days or camp out on their OHVs even and go from one area to the other.
And the potential of connecting, you know, hundreds of kilometers of trails, yeah, and these little individual places that have offshoots and scenic, yeah, areas, but get them all linked together. That's going to be so amazing for our activity out here.
It would. That would really set us apart here in Clearwater, you know, from the rest of the province. And I think that's important in terms of economic development. You need to find that niche that sets you apart from everybody else and, you know, makes it that much more attractive to come here. And like you said, people come here and they, not just a trail ride, there's lots of other activities they can do too. So we need to provide those campsites, those other amenities that go along with these trails as well. So that's always also part of the plan, right, is the campground development, whether it's rustic camping with the kind of the old random camping, or if it's an actual campground, and some of those are popping up too, yeah, right, are expanding as well.
There's more demand from both customers and investors to, yes, have some of those type of services out there. Yeah. So before we end, is there anything you'd like people to know? How do people volunteer with your group?
Well, COVID really threw a wrench into everybody, right? We went from we used to have these big meetings where all kinds of people would come, and they actually turned into a lot of big philosophy sessions. We didn't get a lot of work done for quite a few years, but now we more or less operate as a board, doing our projects, working on things. I think we're getting back to the point where we're going to start looking for some more volunteers or people, okay, to be involved with. I think Clearwater Trails Initiative is more geared towards the, you know, we'd like to, yeah, we do build trails, but, you know, we're not really the best at that. Our talents or our expertise on our board is more around the approvals process, whether that's fisheries or the historic resources or whatever it takes to get the plan in place, as opposed to the actual, you know, going out there managing contracts and stuff. So I think we need to start tying our groups together, the other clubs and groups that are out there that have that expertise, and everybody can find the best job that, or what they're best at in terms of developing and managing trails and kind of work from there. Sorting out, you know, we've also been sorting out a bit of the funding for maintenance, right? There is funding available now. It's not a lot, but the government has designated the Alberta Off-Highway Vehicle Association they've been providing funds to them, and they dole out funds to groups, okay, that are sort of, they're kind of the mothership of all trail clubs in the province of OHV trail clubs. So there is some funding for maintenance coming available through them now on an annual basis. So I think we're going to, you know, work towards that as well and start to, as we, you know, as these new trails start to be used and we see where we need to do maintenance, et cetera, we'll figure out how much that's going to cost and the time we need to spend on that and start work towards getting more funding and sort of on a long-term basis, right? Annual funding in place to work on those things. Volunteers are still going to be needed out there. We always need people to check trails, cut those trees off, pick up a bit of garbage maybe or something. But on the construction side of it, the days are probably gone where you have people with shovels building a trail and power saws. We just can't build a good enough trail that way, right? We need to get that bigger equipment in there and hire a real contractor to do the work.
And Clearwater Trails Initiative has a website with some of the maps on it?
No, nothing to that effect yet. We have a bit of a link through the county, and that's I'm working on that right now with the government of Alberta, too. They have a new guide out last year, and I didn't know it existed till just recently, but it's called the Public Lands Trail Guide. And it's a summer public lands trail guide. So it's providing some information and maps, et cetera. So there's a new version of that coming out this summer. So I'm learning about that, making a submission to that on behalf of Clearwater Trails. And I'm hoping that, yes, it's those maps are all important. People, we need to find places where they can access those maps or download them. Because like the Meadows area, there's only a few spots where you get actual cell reception. Right. So you really can't rely on...
You need to download them before you go.
That's right. You need the Avenza app or a similar app to download to. And that's part of the plan as well, right? We have to work through that. And we've been lax on that. It's not... Until a trail is designated, you really can't put it on a map, right? So we've just recently designated some of these trails. Now we can put them on a map and make that map public knowledge.
Which is what makes it a little difficult. Like I want to promote the Rigg Street area, for example.
Yes.
I mean, it is certainly well used. The trails have been built wonderfully. But because they're not designated by the province, it's difficult for us to promote that because they're not official trails.
That's right. Exactly.
The Meadows seems to be overcoming that problem.
Yeah. And, you know, in hindsight, the Meadows was a better area to build trails in. Far less industrial activity. Really, logging is the only thing up in the Meadows. There is a little bit of oil activity there. There's one kind of major pipeline. And the ground is much better in the Meadows. Very rocky, not much topsoil. Easy to construct and maintain a trail there. Rigg Street, struggled a lot more there.
A lot of marsh.
Little bit, and the right-of-ways there, like I said, are straight linear. You know, they go through all the terrain. They're all built in the winter, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to seeing what the Clearwater Trails Initiative does, and I look forward to promoting your trails.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Enjoyed being here today.
Okay.